I want to try to just exhort you a little bit tonight. I'm going to bring a little message called Let's Get Excited. Glad you're here. Jordan, got the family here with you tonight? Good to have your family with us. God bless you. And Psalm 68:3. Look, let's stand for one for the reading of God's Word. Bikers meet, big meeting, big biker meeting next Sunday night after church. Real important. We're not too far away from the blessing of the bikers. Yeah. We need to get some flyers made up and getting some, and we need to put out a big mailer. I mean, not just for the bikers, but for our church. We need to, I haven't got it all together yet, but my, what do they call it, the A-team? A-team, I might be calling on you a week or two from now. We're going to put up, let's see what we, I don't know what I've got packaged and what I got to package up, but Brother Wade prayed, it's getting warmer, and I'm feeling better, and we can go out and knock on doors again. Amen? And so, that's the most important, getting the Word of God out. Notice what it says there in Psalm 68:3. But let the righteous be glad. How many sad Christians do you know today? A lot of times there's more sad sack Christians than there's happy Christians. I wonder what that makes the Lord feel like. But let the righteous be glad. Number two, let them rejoice before God. Yea, and number three, let them exceedingly rejoice. Tonight I want to bring a message to you. Let's get excited. Let's get excited. Father, I believe you put this in my heart. Help me now to be a blessing to the people. Holy Spirit, go up and down the aisles and encourage every saint of God. If there anybody it would be here tonight with us that doesn't know you as Savior, I pray that they'll receive you as their Lord and Savior. May you get glory for all things, we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you. May be seated. Look what that verse is saying to the redeemed of God. Now, if you're not saved, this is for the redeemed, people that have been born again, saved, washed by the blood. Look what it says there. Number one, in verse 3, let the righteous be glad. How many are glad today? Say amen. Man, we ought to be the happiest people on the face of the earth. I know there's a lot of problems. I know there's a lot of heartaches. I know there's a lot of pressures. It's all around me all the time. And I know we live in some tough times right now, but I'll tell you, the better times are coming. And by the way, no matter how bad it is, when you're a child of God, you can be glad about something. Amen? So number one, let the righteous be glad. Number two, let them rejoice before God. Do you, outside the church, do you ever say amen or praise God? You ever pray during the week and say, Lord, I want to tell you I love you. Lord, I want to thank you. Lord, I thank you for this beautiful sun. Lord, thank you for the rain that we're going to get. How much do we rejoice in the things of God? Look up here. I think a lot of Christians go through life and never make their life count for Christ because they don't let Christ have control of their life. Let your life center around Christ. Be focused. Let him be the focus of your life. Amen? It's more than the Sunday morning church and Sunday night church. But he said, let the righteous and people who are saved be glad. Let them not only be glad, but let them rejoice before God. God likes it when we're happy. How many like to see your kids laughing, giggling? Yeah, hi, mommy, you know? And let them exceedingly rejoice. He said, man, I don't want you just to rejoice. I want Wes to exceedingly get happy, man. I mean happy, happy. I mean giggly happy. Wes, he says, get all excited. Look up here. Exceedingly rejoicing. That's over the top. That's bubbling over. How many are with me yet? Exceedingly rejoicing. In other words, man, I don't care what's going on in your life. I don't care if your blood pressure is 500 and you're, if it's 500, you're dead. But I meant your sugar. I don't know how far... Annie's a nurse. I don't know how far you can go up in the blood pressure. You don't want to go to 500, though. I know that for a fact. I don't know if anybody lived to have 500. But anyways, I don't care where you're at in life. There ought to be a song in your heart for Christ. And that, I think that's what he's talking about, Annie. Exceedingly rejoicing. In other words, man, let it bubble right out of you. Do people see you bubble for Christ? Do people see God just coming, oozing right out of you? They ought to. And I'm not saying fake. I mean, don't go out there and just be a fake. People know fakes. Be real about your salvation. Be real about your Christianity. Let your light shine bright and let it be a real light that they can see it's from heaven. Listen, the world's heading for destruction. They really are. I don't want to scare you, but I'm concerned about that little cheetah pet over there in Korea. I think he's going to do something. I really do. And, you know, you used to get them little things, and they grow up, little cheetah pets. Remember that? Well, that's how he's got a, just like a little cheetah pet. He's acting like one right now, too, by the way. And he might cost millions and maybe into thousands of people that might die from it. I hope not. And I wish Ronald Reagan was at the helm right now instead of Obama. But anyways, we need to rejoice and be glad. Praise God. Look at what that verse 3 is telling us, the child of God. He's telling you to be glad, telling you to rejoice, telling you to be exceedingly rejoicing. You know, when you go to work tomorrow, put a smile on your face. Have a heavenly glow for Christ. Hello? Say a prayer for our Christian teachers. They need it for our kids. Listen, I got child of God. Verse 3 is saying to all of us, let's get excited. Too many sad sacks in the Christianity. Let's get excited. Don't let this world tear you down. There's a lot that can tear you down. But I've been depressed. Have you ever been? How many have ever been depressed and discouraged? I have. I'm going to tell you that's the worst time of your life. And when people see you down, boy, what's wrong with them? How many know what I'm talking about? Boy, I wonder what happened to them. And then what it does, it kind of puts a strain on them. So now you're taking yourself down, but you're taking others down around you. If I come to church and I'm not bubbling over, you go and say, boy, something wrong, preacher. Hello? But you don't need my bubble. But it helps you. It helps for you to have preacher be excited. By the way, I'm excited all the time. I'm serious. I don't care where you find me, you'll see I'm excited. This ain't put on. I'm excited about Jesus. I'm excited about being saved. I'm excited about not going to hell. I'm excited about Jesus taking me to heaven. That's exciting. By the way, as sick as I've been the last couple of weeks, I'm excited about getting a brand new body. Amen? Man, I tell you. Listen, don't let the world tear you down. We ought to be lifting the world up. We ought not let them tear us down. We ought to be encouraging and lifting them up towards Christ. Let's get excited about Jesus. Let's get excited about heaven. Let's get excited about our new bodies. Let's get excited about all the great things that God has promised in the Word of God. Let's get excited. Well, let me give you a few things tonight I want to share with you about what to get excited about. Number one, I've got a few of them here. I won't preach long, though. Number one, if you're taking notes, I believe every Christian ought to get excited about the revelation of Jesus Christ. Would you turn to Revelation with me? One, I didn't know that preacher was going to preach on Revelation tonight, this morning. But I'm not changing. Look at Revelation chapter 1 and verse 1. Last book in the Bible. I'm trying to find it. I know it's in there. I've read it. There it is. Revelation 1:1. I want to give you just a few things tonight. And I hope I can encourage you tonight. I know a lot of you face a lot of problems. And you're coming to church on Sunday saying, God, say something to me. Say something to me to make another day or make another week. And that's the job of the preacher, to bring you the Word of God, to try to exhort you and encourage you to keep on keeping on for Christ. Amen? But notice Revelation 1:1. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants. Are you a servant tonight? Things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by the angel unto his servant John. I'm going to tell you right now, we ought to get excited, number one, because God has revealed to us through Jesus Christ and the Word of God, God's plan for all ages. Listen, we don't have to sit in the dark. Are you listening to me? I know what's going to happen, Brother Mike, before it happens. Boy, you're quiet. Because of God's Word, I know what's going to happen. I know what's happened in the past, the present, and I know what's going to happen in the future. I know Jesus is going to come back. How many with me? I know right now I'm in the church age. And Christ is reaching out, and he's wanting to save all the people he can right now. That's why we need to be about our Father's business. Okay? I know, number one, that I'm in the church age. I know, number two, the second thing that's going to happen real soon is the rapture. And boy, the way things, the world's shaping up, I'll tell you, I think we're on the brink of the rapture. I don't know when it is, but I know we're going to have it. Hello? I don't know what day it's going to happen. I don't know what year. And by the way, if someone tells you they know, they're lying. But I just know Jesus said he's going to come back again. And I got God's word on it. I'm going to tell you right now, I'm waiting for the trumpet to sound and for us to be caught up in a moment, twinkling eye. Hallelujah. I can't wait for that. I wish it happened right now. There's nothing holding me back no more. Hello? How many are still with me? All the kids saying, preacher, we're too young. We didn't get to live our life yet, but I did. And by the way, when it happens, you'll be glad it happened too. There's no greater life than what he's got planned for you in the future. Listen, in Revelation 1:1, God has revealed to us through Christ and the Word of God, God's plan for all ages. We're not left in the dark. In his Bible, he's told us the beginning and the end. We ought to be excited. We know what happens at the end. How many of you ever read the last of Revelation? You read those last three chapters, you're going to find out what happens at the end. Amen? Guess what? We win. Listen, we don't have to sit in darkness. God has shown us and revealed to us his plan for mankind for all the ages. We're not in the dark. God gave unto him to show us what his servants... Look what it says there in verse 1. God gave unto him, Christ, to show unto his servants, that's you and I, the things which must shortly come to pass. Man, you want to know what's coming up? Read the Bible. You know what? The newspapers are going out of business. But boy, the Bible never goes out of business. You want the Daily Times? Here it is. You want the Evening Post? Here it is. This Bible is up to date every day of the week. Every month of the year, every year after, this Bible is up to date every single day. You want to know what's going on, what's going to happen? Read the Bible every day. Amen? God, through his holy word, has revealed to us the past, the present, and the future. And I got down and, well, glory! Man, I'm glad I know what's going on. Amen? I want to read to you 1 Peter 1:13. 1 Peter, wherefore, 1:13. Wherefore, gird up thy loins, Christians, of your mind. Be sober. Hope for the end, for the grace that is brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Man, I'm glad you know what? I'm glad God's revealed things to us. I'm not talking about hokey pokey. I'm not talking about put your hand here and let me see, I can see this. No. I'm talking about what we can see from the Word of God. I'm not talking about some false teaching. I'm telling you, God has enlightened us. And I'll tell you another reason he's enlightened us. With the Holy Spirit of God. If you don't have the Holy Spirit of God, you can't. People say, I can't understand the Bible. I can't understand the Bible. Well, you should be able to understand some of it. I don't understand everything. But if you're really a child of God, the Bible teaches it that you've got the Holy Spirit within you. The moment you trusted Christ as your Savior, right then, the Bible says that you got the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit gives entrance to his word. And by the way, without it's written, the Holy Spirit, the Bible is inspired by the Holy Spirit. Without the Holy Spirit, you can't understand this book. That's why you got to be saved. Amen? And so we've got the revelation of Jesus Christ. Child of God, let's get excited because we know the beginning and the end. We know we're heaven bound. And I'll tell you, I'm not living in the dark. I'm glad I got the revelation of Christ. Number two, now am I glad I got the revelation of Jesus. I'm excited about the revelation of Christ. But I'm excited about the redemption we have in Christ Jesus. How many are glad for the redemption? Praise God, I'm saved. I'm sealed. I'm sanctified, set apart. And one day, I'm going to be glorified. Amen. I want you to look with me in Hebrews. Look at the book of Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews 9, verse 12. Talking about redemption. Thank God for the revelation of Christ. Thank God for the redemption of Christ. By the way, there's no other redemption outside of Jesus. There's no other name given, the Bible says in Acts, whereby men must be saved. But Hebrews 9:12 says, neither by the blood of goats cast, but by his own blood, talking about Christ's blood, he entered into once the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption. First of all, I want you to see it's not a partial redemption. It's how long? Eternal. How long does eternal last?
Forever.
And then look at those last two words. This eternal redemption is for who? Yuns. For us. Man, I've got eternal redemption, Brother Jack, forever. I can't lose it because of Christ. Look down at verse 15. Not only do we have eternal redemption, and look at verse 15. For this cause, he's the mediator, Jesus, of the New Testament, that by the means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions, that's all our sins, that were under the First Testament, that we which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. Woo, man. Holy mackerel. I got eternal inheritance. I got an eternal redemption. Man, everything about God's eternal. Did you get that? Everything about God is eternal. His blessings are eternal. His grace is eternal. Amen? Notice, so we have, in verse 12, we have obtained eternal redemption. In verse 15, we return eternal inheritance. Let me just quote this scripture to you, and then I'm going to have you turn to Romans with me. Ephesians 4:30 says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit, whereby we're sealed until the day of redemption. When is the day of redemption? When Christ calls us home. The day of redemption, we get our new bodies. Isn't that exciting? Let me give you, I've gave this, since I've been here going towards 23 years, but I've used this. Dr. Brooke taught me this, and I've used it for 23 years. It's a good way for you to understand it. Eternal redemption. Right now, Christ put his blood, he put a down payment, he shed his blood, and he left, but he left us the Holy Spirit. I mean, you're with me. The Holy Spirit was his down, was his, the Bible says it's his earnest. The earnest is a down payment. And so, like you girls go to the store on Monday, but your husband don't get a check till Friday. But you see this dress. Oh, my lands, it was made for me. I can't do without it. He'd want me to buy it. I know my husband would want me to buy it. He might tell you that. How much is it? It's only $100. It's on sale this week. So you'll say, well, I don't have that $100 right now. But I'll tell you what I'll do. I'm going to put $10. I'm going to have you hold it for me. I'm going to put $10 down. I'm going to put a deposit to hold it. I'm going to put a earnest to hold it for me. And Friday, my husband will come in and pay it all. Are you with me? Tommy say, I'm not paying it. That's too many Girl Scout cookies I can buy. Right now, see, the Holy Spirit's a down payment. We're sealed until the day of redemption. See, we're protected. We're kept by the Holy. But when he comes, he's going to call us right up. Amen? Hallelujah. Redemption. How many can say amen? Look at, boy, I just love the book of Romans. Look at chapter 8. Get ready to shout, saints. If you're saved, you're going to get ready to shout here. When I was preparing this message, man, I got all excited. I love the book of Romans. I love teaching it. It takes me a full year to teach it. And two semesters. 16 chapters, but there's a ton of stuff in there, man. Notice, how many have got Romans 8, verse 15? For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption. That's whereby you cry, Abba, Father, Daddy, Daddy. How many are with me? Betty, that's what makes us excited. When people get saved, we see things that are really, we say, amen. Why do we get excited? What's that exuberance coming out of us? Preacher, that exuberance is the Holy Spirit rejoicing. You say, how can those people never get excited? They might not have that in there. You got to have something in there to get excited, amen? Notice what it says in verse, the Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. That's how you know you're a child of God. And if verse 17, if children, then heirs, heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. Hallelujah. Man, we're going up. One day we're going to have a brand new body. I thought about Debbie's mama. Wasn't that special? 91 years old. Went in that piano last night and sang. Oh, my lands. Oh, that to me, that was special. Wow. One day, she's going to have a brand new body. Boy, but she'll be really singing in heaven, won't she? Now the Southerners, then Paul was from the South, because look at verse 18. For I reckon, how many reckon here? For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time, take all the suffering you want. They're not really to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Hey, listen, I don't care how bad, how much, there's nothing. Once we get to heaven, we're going to be shouting. Kind of like, I don't know if this would be the good example, but it's an example that's coming to me right now. When a lady delivers a baby, there's great pain as the baby is delivered, coming out. But after that baby comes out, that lady forgets all about that pain. How many are with me? We're going through a lot of pain right now. Lou, I know we have a lot of heartaches and hardships and things, but when we're delivered, we're going to forget all about this. Listen, this stuff that we're going through now will never even come into our memory. Isn't that exciting? Look at verse 19. By the way, Billy, not just me, you and Coolidge are looking for this. Did you know the world, even the animals and the creation, are waiting for Christ to come? Look what it says there in verse 19. For the earnest expectation of the creature, you know, the mouse and the dog and the cat and the moo-moo and hoo-hoo, creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. They're waiting for us to get that manifestation. For the creature was made subject to vanity, and not willingly, but by reason of him who has subject the same in the hope, because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage. Yeah, because when we're taken out of this, so are they. The bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know, I like this. Look at verse 22. For we know. We don't think, we don't hope, we know. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together. Just like a lady getting ready to deliver. She's groaning, pain. How many are with me? And she, oh, man. And then she, oh, look at that baby. Then all the pain is gone. And now all she's focused on is that new creature, that new creation. How many are still with me? For we know, and the whole creation groaneth in the pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruit of the Spirit. Can anyone say amen? Even we ourselves groan with ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption. I'm working on that word redemption. I don't know if you knew that. I've been trying to work on it. The redemption of our body. Hallelujah, man. Brother Marty, one day this kid, this old boy, you know, I was telling the missionary yesterday when I was younger what I could do, but now, boy, it's amazing when you get older how you have to slow down. Now, Miss Judy's never slowed down. No one's ever told her yet. Don't tell her, Jack. But when you get older, Brother Mike, you and I know we've had some real close calls the last few years for you and I both. When you get older, that old body shuts down. I remember I was telling how I used to play ball when I was a kid. I could run. Fastest one on the team. Did you know I can't even trot? But you know what? Praise God. I can still walk. Beats laying in bed. Amen. You prayed me out. It's your fault. You say, man, preacher, we should have kept just quit praying, let you stay back there. But I can't even, listen, I went from running and jumping and hollering and screaming. I can still holler and scream, but I can't run no more. I used to love to play ball. I used to even play with the kids once in a while. I can't even do it no more. Last time I tried to go out for a pass with the kids at school, I think I fell down and scraped my knees on the blacktop. Felt like an idiot in front of all those kids. I tried to be young. I used to be a fullback. I could run people over. Now I'm just running over. Now the blacktop's running me over. Who tackled you? The blacktop. That's all I can see is black. But I can still witness. I can still walk enough to pass out tracts. I got to wait till it gets warmer so I don't get pneumonia again. But hey there, the Silver Hairs, we're challenged, but we still can do something. And Johnny, we just find out what we can do, and then we do that. Because there's always something for everybody to do. Amen? And, I'm just glad for the redemption. Look, boy, that's so exciting. Waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. Whew. Man, Annie, I can't wait. No more blood pressure pills. No more heart pills. No more sugar pills, diabetic pills. You know I pop 12 pills a day. I'm glad years ago I took the gospel. That changed my whole life, amen? But, I just got, well, can anyone say, man? Listen, my body's breaking down right now, but praise God, I've got a new body coming soon from Jesus, amen? So number one, I thank God for the child. I ought to get excited about the revelation of Jesus Christ. We ought to get, number two, excited about the redemption that's in Christ Jesus. Number three, we ought to get excited about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I know Easter was last Sunday, but I'm going to tell you, every week's Easter. Every Sunday is a celebration of the resurrection. 52 weeks, the world doesn't know that, Di, but we celebrate the resurrection of Christ every single Sunday. For over 2,000 years now, Christians have been meeting on Sundays, the first day of the week, and we've been celebrating the glorious resurrection of our Savior. Amen? And the early church at Jerusalem got excited about his resurrection. Turn the book of Acts with me. I'm almost done. No, I'm not, but I'm getting closer than what I was. I've only got a couple more, but I want you to see this. Let me show you how much the early church got excited about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Look at Acts chapter 1. Look at Acts 1:22. Beginning from the baptism of John. How many's got Acts 1:22? Until the same day that he was taken up from us, must one be ordained to be a witness with us of his resurrection. If you know what one of the qualifications to be an apostle back then? You had to be a witness of the resurrection of Christ. That was one of the qualifications back then. By the way, that's why there's no more apostles. They're all dead. Hello? But one of the qualifications of the apostles were they had to be a witness of the resurrection. How many see that? Must be one ordained. Remember Judas fell? How many are still with me? So they had to replace him. And they took a vote. How many are with me? I know Paul came later. How many are with me yet? And they said, whoever we vote for, they must, of course they had to be a believer, but they must be a witness of the resurrection. One of the qualifications for being an apostle back then, you had to be a witness of the resurrection. Hello? How many are still with me? Then Paul, he was born out of due time. Amen? And the resurrection of Christ. Look at Acts chapter 2, verse 31. I'm talking about the first Baptist church in Jerusalem. And I really believe it was a Baptist church. I say that and I mean it with all my heart. Jesus started a church when he was on earth. I don't believe it was a church of God. I don't believe it was an assembly of God. I don't believe it was a Catholic church. By the way, I get a kick out of the Catholics. They didn't start to 300 B.C. right in there. And they claim Peter as the first pope. He had been dead for a long time. You say, is this not church's night? No, this is just give you truth night. The Bible says truth sets you free. I'm not meaning anybody, just telling you the truth. The Catholic Church didn't start around, I think it was around 325. Hey, Colton, Jesus had been dead and raised, and the fundamentalists were out for 300 years before they even got started. get off that. He's seeing verse 31, before spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul would not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption, that Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses. How many see that? What I'm trying to say is this, Brother Wade. All the Christians back then in that early church, they were all excited about the resurrection of Christ. And I'm going to tell you something. 2,000 years later, Brother Mike, every born-again Christian ought to be excited about the resurrection. Without the resurrection, we have no life, no hope, no sins forgiven. All things are lost. We ought to be yabba-dabba-doo over the resurrection. Man, we ought to jump up. I can't do it. I might be able to try it. Click your heels. Boy, I used to be able to jump high. Well, those days are gone. We ought to be clicking our heels in any way you can do it over the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Look up here. The reason I'm saying this, why don't we ever tell people about the resurrection? Why don't we ever get excited about the resurrection? You hear a gospel song about the resurrection. Why don't you start saying it? They say, what are you getting so happy about? Oh, it's talking about my Savior, how he rose from the grave that third day. You know, people will only be what we show them when we want. Hello? They look at us and they see a bunch of empty shells. Hello? Boy, it's quiet in here. Look, did I read verse 32? Yeah. This Jesus has God raised up where we are all. Are we, by the way, in 2013, Bethel Baptist, are we witnesses? Are we witnesses for this resurrection? We ought to be. Amen? And so, look at Acts chapter 4, verse 1 and 2. We're talking about the resurrection. Why we should be excited. Acts 4, verse 1 and 2. And as they spake unto the people, the priests and captains of the temple, and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus Christ the resurrection from the dead. Remember, Sadducees, they were that sect. They didn't believe there was a resurrection. And there's, you know, that's why they were sad, you see, you know. But they didn't believe in the resurrection. But they got mad over this. Let the world get mad, Jimmy. We're going to keep telling them. By the way, all you bus workers, good job this week. Keep those buses rolling. Yeah, it's 50-some kids today in the buses. That's exciting. While you're still there, look at verse 33 in that same chapter. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. How many see that? They gave great power. Great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection, and great grace was upon them all. I'm going to tell you, you Sunday school teachers, you want to get your class pumped? Start talking about the resurrection. I'm going to tell you, I can't think of a greater subject than the resurrection. Man, he's alive. Up from the grave he rose. The ground couldn't hold him. Nothing could hold him. Man, that Savior is alive. He's alive. You ought to get excited about every Sunday. You ought to get the resurrection there someday. Amen? We ought to be excited about the sound of sounding off to the world about the resurrection of Christ. Look at Acts 17. Look at Acts 17, verse 18 and 32. 17, verse 18. Acts 17, verse 18. How many have got Acts 17, 18? than certain philosophers of the Epicureans and the Stoics encountered him, and some said, "What will this babbler say?" Others, some, "He seemeth to be a setter for strange gods, because, watch, he preached unto them Jesus and the resurrection." Hey, by the way, do you think I'd be excited as much as I am now if there wasn't no resurrection? I mean, sometimes preacher has a Pentecostal fit up here. You know why I get excited? Because of the resurrection. If he was still in the grave, well, I wouldn't even be showing up. There'd be no reason. If he wouldn't be not risen, then why even come? Amen? Well, you know what? When he comes, we're all going to come alive. Then we're going to say, "Wow, he wasn't kidding. It really did happen." Yeah, it really did. Notice, "And they preached unto them Jesus and the resurrection." Bring Jesus up alive. Don't leave him on the cross. I'm glad he died for our sins, but I'm glad not only that he died, the Bible says, but he raised again the third day according to the scriptures. That's the gospel. Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and the third day rose again according to the scriptures. You can find that in 1 Corinthians 15, first four verses. Let me tell you something. That ought to be on your lips every day. Boy, God, I'm so glad you're risen. So glad you rose for me. Lord, I'm so glad that you're coming back. Hello? How many? Anyone still here? Child of God, get excited. Our Savior is risen, and all the world needs to know it. Look at verse 32. There's a song, "Get all excited. Tell everybody that Jesus Christ is King. Get all excited and tell everybody that Jesus Christ is King. Get all excited and tell everybody Jesus Christ is King. Jesus Christ is King, King of Kings. He's also Lord of Lords. He's also the Alpha and Omega, beginning and end." Amen? Notice verse, and when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked. I'm in verse 32. Bobby, when you and your wife witnessed, I know you do a lot, don't be surprised. Sonia, if they laugh at you, mock you, don't let that discourage you. Just go to the next person. Bible talks about kick the dust off your feet. I've learned, if people won't entertain the Word of God, I let them go. I really do. I used to hump. No, if they don't entertain the Word of God, then I kick the dust off my feet and go to the next. There's a lot of people out there. Don't say I won't go back. I'm not saying I won't go back to that person, but I'm not going to. If they won't entertain it. By the way, when you're trying to witness to people, if they won't entertain what you're trying to give to them, the Holy Spirit's not reaching their heart. Am I making sense to anybody tonight? But you can tell. You can tell. There was a boy here last week. Last Sunday night, there was a couple here. And they brought a teenage boy. And I tried to get him saved, but he said, "I don't understand it all." And I said, "Well, you've got..." He said, "I'll wait. I'll study it." I said, "Good. Keep studying it. He's got a chance to be saved, and I'll tell you why. He's listening to the Word of God. When you say no to God, then you put the light out. Scripture says in Hebrews, "For it's impossible to please God. For without faith, it is impossible to please God." Watch what it says there, though, in the next sentence there in the same verse. Hebrews 11:6. "For without faith, it's impossible to please God. But he that cometh to him must believe that he is. And he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." All those days, I used to walk out of that bar at 2:30 at night. Look up, "God, I know you're up there. God, there's got to be more to life than this. God, I know you're up there." I wasn't saved, didn't know nothing about Jesus. But I didn't put that light out. And one day I met a little girl on that same street, not in that bar, but down at the sweet shop. I found a picture of Edith's sweet shop. We're cleaning out stuff. I found a picture of Edith where I met Rosie at. Edith's sweet shop. She had big curlers in her hair and everything. But Mike, I know why I got saved. Not that I deserve to get saved. I got saved because I never turned the light out. Because I said there is a God. I didn't know who God was, but I knew there was a God. And I kept searching, "God, where are you? God, where are you?" I'd actually cry out to heaven, "Where are you? lost as could be, standing out in the middle, 2:30 on Glenn Street in a Pure gas station, 2:30 at night. God heard me. He saw me. And almost every night I walked out. And I'd say, there's got to be more to life than this. There's got to be more to life than this. And I was just a young kid, 18 years old. But I'd been in that bar since I was 14. And God showed me. Met a little girl with big curlers. I said, here's my phone number. She said, I don't call boys. I said, all girls call me. Not this one. I'm married now. But listen. And then she said, I'll come to church. And she brought me to church. And I didn't get saved right away, but God worked that out where I got saved. I didn't get saved the first time I heard the word of God. But Bill, I don't think I ever would have met Rosie had I not reached out up to God. I don't believe I ever would have met Rosie. He used her to bring me to hear the word of God. Isn't that somehow God works in people's lives? The resurrection of Jesus Christ. Let's get excited. Let's get excited. We've got a risen Savior. Did I read that verse 32? And when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked. Others said, we will hear thee again on this matter. That's the most important matter in the world, the resurrection. I'm going to just read this. 1 Peter 1:3 says this. Oh, I love this, Cooley. It's one of my favorite verses. 1 Peter 1:3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again, we that are saved, unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Man, I'm going to tell you, he came up from the grave and they said, he's alive, he's alive, he's alive. Man, they got excited because they had a lively hope. We need to have a bunch of Christians today going up and down the world saying, he's alive, he's alive, he's alive. We ought to have a lively hope in our life. We've got a real Savior, a righteous Savior, a reigning Savior. And by the way, he's a resurrected Savior, and he's a returning Savior soon. And we ought to get excited about it. He is alive. That's why we run those buses. That's why we pay thousands of dollars for gas and parts and try to get you to buy me more buses. Because those kids have got to know there's a real Savior in the world, Jim. Because without that, I know sometimes you bus workers think, oh, it ain't worth it. It is worth it. It is worth it. When Preacher was young, I ran the bus routes. I ran them for years. Even when I pastored, I ran the bus routes. Even when I pastored Lighthouse for a while, I'd drive the bus, get out and teach Sunday school, preach, run off, get the bus, take the kids home. Because I knew it was real. I knew it was so important. Look up here. Christ is coming back. The reason we have hope, preacher, brother, is because of his resurrection. And preacher, that's why we always preach this, because that's the hope of all mankind, the resurrection of our Savior. Amen? And so get excited about it. Don't keep on, I don't want to offend nobody. Are you stupid? Are you taking dumb pills? That's Satan talking to you. God wants the whole world to know about the resurrection. Go ye to all the world. Preach the gospel. All my lands, every creature that the whole, everything in the world hears about the gospel. Boy, sometimes, that's why we need to keep gospel tracks on you. I got that big thing right now. I've got tracks in there, though. Maybe I got them on both sides. Nope, they're all on that one side. But have tracks with you. Have them in your car. Have them in your truck. Keep them on your person. Mike wears that badge everywhere he goes. It's a talk piece. And he has tracks with it, too. And he has that badge. Bethel, I can't remember what it says. Church on the Rise for a risen and returning Savior. We are a church on the rise. Our Savior is risen. He's returning. Hallelujah. I'm excited. I don't know about you. If you won, by the way, I hope you don't. If you played the lottery and won the $1 million lottery, I'll never win it because I'm never playing it. I don't think any Christian ought to play it. I'll get you mad at me tonight. But I guarantee you, if someone won that lottery, man, you'd be, man, you'd call your mother, you'd call your friend. Guess what? We hit the lotto, with a $1 million jackpot, whatever they call it. We hit 75, 42, 31. Man, we hit. I don't know the numbers they do, but I just made up some numbers. Watch that be a winning number. Oh, boy. Go out and play that number tonight. No, just kidding you. But what I'm saying is this. Billy, if we can get excited, Taylor, if we can get excited about fleshly things that are going to pass away, why can't we get excited about eternal things, an eternal inheritance, an eternal salvation, an eternal redemption? How many are with me? Something that's going to last forever, Carl. Throughout all the, I mean, we value all this temporal things, and we don't value the eternal things. We ought to put a priority on the eternal and a less effect on the temporal. Amen? Let me get close to the end here now. So we have the revelation of Christ. We ought to get excited over the revelation. We ought to get excited about the redemption. We ought to get excited about the resurrection. Then number four, the child of God, get excited about the return of Jesus, because he's coming soon. Acts chapter 1, verse 11 says, "This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall go and come in like manner." Hallelujah. The angel said, "Hey, you looking up? This same guy's going up. He's coming back. I'm glad he's coming back." And Brother Marty, the very foot, I really believe this with all my heart. He was outside of, on the Mount of Olives, outside of Jerusalem. Preacher, I believe this. Now, I can't prove it, but I believe it with all my heart. I believe the very place that his foot left, I believe when he comes back, it'll be right, it'll stop, it'll come right back where that place he left. I believe that. And when it does, there's going to be a great earthquake. Amen? There's going to be a whole lot of shaking going on. I was trying to think of that guy that wrote that song, but it ain't talking, whatever that guy's name was. It ain't that. What is it? No, it wasn't Elvis. Jerry Lee Lewis, when I was a kid growing up, he had a whole lot of shaking going on. Well, there's going to be a whole lot of shaking that Jerry didn't know about. Much more than Jerry sang about. And that shaking is not going to be the rock and roll. It's going to be talking about the Rock of Ages coming down, making things shake. Amen? Look at James. I'm almost done. Look at James chapter 5. I really am. Look at James chapter 5. Right after Hebrews is James. James chapter 5. Look at verse 7 and 8. James chapter 5, verse 7 and 8. We're talking about the return of Jesus Christ. He says this to the child of God, be patient. How many see 5, 7 of James? Be patient. Boy, it's hard to be patient sometimes. I hate waiting in line. Like we go to the Cracker Barrel, and man, I send my kid ahead of time, and they still don't have me in. So what I did, I stand right there by the waitress, by the girl at the register, just to ignore, and it bothers them. I say, is it my name now? My name? Skyver! That's what I was wanting to hear. Man, I hate waiting. Be patient. Preachers aren't patient, Billy. You know that. But you wives need to be patient with us. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. How many believe he's coming? Say amen. How many of our lives tomorrow will express that we know he's coming? How many of our lives tomorrow will reflect the others that he's coming? Who will see in our lives tomorrow, the ones we meet, that we believe that really in all our depths of our heart that Christ is really coming? He is coming. Whether we believe or not, he's still coming. Be patient, therefore, brethren, in the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husband waited for the precious fruit of the earth and had long patience for it until he received an early and latter rain. Look at verse 8. Be ye patient. Establish your hearts. We just need to get some Christian with some established hearts, man. We're tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine sometimes. Or people get mad, oh, it didn't go my way. Oh, keep going. You're a soldier. You're in the army of God. Be patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Hallelujah, Tommy. He's coming, and he's near. I don't know about you, but I'm excited. How many are excited about Jesus coming back? Well, get your hearts established around that. Then lastly, let's get excited because of one day. This is the last thing. The restoration of Israel will come. Let me just turn to us once. Isaiah chapter 40. One day God's going to restore Israel. The nation Israel is going to be restored. Let me just read a couple verses to you. Isaiah 40, verse 1 and 2. Comfort ye, my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortable to Jerusalem and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she had received of the Lord hands double for all her sins. One day, hallelujah, the Prince of Peace, Billy, is going to ride through on a white horse. Isn't that exciting? I'm going to read to you from Romans, and I'll quit. I wasn't too bad tonight. By the way, I haven't got to preach for a while, so I'm doing pretty good. Romans chapter 11, verse 25 and 26. For I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part has happened to Israel. You know, you say, man, what is wrong with Israel? Why can't they see that Christ died for them? Look at it, it says, until that blindness in part has happened to Israel. Don't hate Israel. You ought to love Israel. They're the apple of God's eye. And by the way, if Israel would have took their Savior, their Messiah, you and I wouldn't be able to get saved. You study this Romans here, this chapter and another chapter. We were grafted in. Kelly, we were grafted in. Like a branch. How many are with me? We're not even the real branches. We're grafted in. Oh, I'm glad God let us come in. Amen? Look what he says there. Until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. Boy, I tell you, there'll be a day when it's cut off, but I'm glad right now us West Virginians can get saved. Amen? And so all Israel shall be saved, as it is written, there shall come out of Zion the Deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. Oh, man. Wow. One day the king's going to come. One day he's going to come, and they're going to, not during the trib, but at the end, at the end of that tribulation, he's going to come down in his revelation. How many are still with me? And when he comes down, he's going to come down triumphant. He won't be riding a lowly donkey then. He'll be riding a big white horse. And they'll be saying, the king is coming. The king is coming. And in that day, Arlene, Israel is going to receive Christ as their Messiah. Isn't that exciting? And he's going to set up a 1,000-year kingdom with them, millennial reign. Then after that, we're going to have a new body. We already had our new bodies, but then he's going to go out into eternity. New heaven, new earth. Amen? He might do something with Israel. We'll have to wait and see what happens. Tonight's not the night. You read Isaiah sometimes, you'll think, are they just going to keep on going on with Israel? Maybe. Psalms 22, verse 6. That's not for tonight's message. A little teaser for you. Someday I'll preach it. Psalms 122:6, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They shall prosper that love thee. Every Christian ought to love Israel. You'll say, oh, those people are, no, they're a blessing from God. By the way, America's blessed because of Israel. I preached this not too long ago, three things why I know America's going to be cursed. I told you because of the sanctity of life, sanctity of marriage, and because of the sanctity of Israel. We're about ready to take our hand off of Israel. And when we do, it's over for America. You just remember I told you that. You better hope you never see the day that we take our hand off of Israel. Because I, Coolidge, with all my heart, I shared that with the missionary last night at dinner. He said, yeah, I can see that. I believe the moment we let our hand off of Israel, Coolidge, I believe America's. I think that's the only thing keeping God protecting us right now. I believe that. I believe that with all my heart. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They shall prosper that love thee. Listen, child of God, in Romans 8:37, it tells us we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. Aren't you glad we're conquerors through Him? Get excited. We're on the winning side. Let's get excited because of the resurrection. Let's get excited because of the redemption in Christ. Let's get excited about the revelation of Christ. Let's get excited about the redemption of Christ. Let's get excited about the resurrection of Christ. Let's get excited about the return of Christ. Let's get excited about one day soon in the future, the restoration of Israel. Amen? Oh, you made it. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for the time we've had in the Word of God. Thank you for this great group of people. I'm so blessed to have a church like this. Lord, please bless each one. Bless those that couldn't be here tonight. Lord, be with Bobby and Jamie as they travel. God, give them a safe journey down to Florida. That's a long trip. Lord, that's almost 1,400 miles, I think, down to Fort Myers or close to it. Lord, just give them a safe journey. Give them a good time. Give them a refreshing time. Thank you for them. Lord, bless our people tonight. I pray that, Lord, I know there's a lot going through, some heartaches and some suffering. But I pray tonight, Holy Spirit, you just squeeze them from heaven. Let them be encouraged in the things of God. Help them to keep going another day, another week, another month. Help them to keep going until you come back for us. Help us to go with a smile and a song in our heart and the joy of Jesus. Help us have that gladness that you talk about in Psalms that we started with, 68:3. Lord, please bless my people tonight. Help our country. Protect our servicemen and ladies. Oh God, please keep your hand on America. Oh God, please keep your hand on America. Help our leaders of our country to look to you, Father. Please help them to look to you. May we always stay close to Israel, I pray. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Let's stand. What page are you on, John? 138.